Well, good morning. And for those of you who don't know me, my name's David, and I usually attend the 11 o'clock service with my wife and children, but it's a great pleasure to be with you at the 9:30 service this morning. Let's say a prayer before we look at this passage from Jonah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray now, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine there's two churches, not here, not local. One is in the centre of a large Muslim community. The other is in the centre of Levenshulam, a deprived area. And they've called for people from our church to go and to be members of the church, to help to reach out to the local community, potentially for some of us to move into the locality. And we're asking for volunteers. I wonder how you would feel. It's sometimes a thought that's crossed my mind. How would I feel if God called us as a family to leave Poynton? I love living in Poynton. It's very nice. Our children go to good schools. And it's a real challenge to think, if God called us and I had that conviction, would I follow it through? And if you're a Christian, I wonder, how do you find telling other people about your faith? How do you find telling other people about your faith? If you're not a Christian or you're unsure, I wonder how you find it when Christians talk about Jesus, talk about their faith. Some amongst us may be natural gifted evangelists, which is great, and we give thanks to God that you're with us. But others are maybe a bit more like me, and we find it difficult to talk about our faith. I remember when I first became a Christian at 16, I was encouraged by my leaders at that time to tell people that I'd become a Christian. And one of the big things for me was to tell my best friend, Martin. And I was really worried about this, and in many ways, I wanted to avoid telling him because I was worried how he would respond. Eventually, I remember it was on a bus. I don't know where we were going. We were on the upper deck. And I turned to Martin and said, I've got something really important to say to you. Not the normal conversation that 16-year-olds have. So Martin did look a bit worried. But I said to him, I'd become a Christian. And I waited for the ground to open up. But it didn't. Actually, Martin responded in a positive way. Why did I find it difficult? Did I doubt God's ability to work? Did I not want Martin to know the good news that I'd received for myself? Well, I think actually the truth is I was worried about me. How would he respond to me? Well, fast forward 30 years. How do you and I find sharing our faith now? If a conversation strays into Christian territory at work or when we're with family and friends and we feel a prodding from God, how do we respond? I don't know about you, but I still find it on many occasions quite a challenge. And what about us more generally as a church, both nationally and locally? Society is changing at a rapid pace. Are we tempted to pull up the drawbridge and stay safe within the confines of the church we know, rather than to go out and speak to people we feel may be hostile and not open to God? If, as a church, we feel God is calling us to go out more to witness to God's love, what do we do with that conviction? Well, just before we start a new series as a church, we've got a one-off today, as Rob said, with a church weekend, so maybe it'll be interesting to listen to the talks from the church weekend on this passage as well. I'll certainly be listening, as we focus on Jonah chapter 3. And Jonah, I don't think, is necessarily a blueprint for evangelism, although it's pretty effective evangelism. But I think there are things we can learn from the story. Things we can learn about God and things we can learn about sharing our faith. Jonah is a well-known book, but we're just focusing mainly on the section from chapter 3 that was read to us today. And it would be really helpful for me and hopefully for you as well if you had the Bible open in front of you. So it's page 960 of the Church Bibles. Page 960, and it's Jonah chapter 3, though we will be looking at some other verses in the book of Jonah as well. So Jonah chapter 3 and page 960 of the Church Bibles. We see Jonah was asked to share his faith, to share God's message, but he didn't want to do it. And I guess with Jonah, certainly initially, it wasn't so much reluctance as pretty much downright disobedience. But it's interesting, as it would seem to me, that Jonah's reluctance wasn't actually a question of faith. He didn't doubt God. Not at all. Indeed, the key to his reluctance is that he knows God will act and will save people. Now, Jonah's reluctance actually seems to be a lack of compassion. In receiving and knowing God's love and grace for himself, he only wants to share it with the people he decides he should share it with. And what does the book of Jonah reveal about God? Well, God gave Jonah a second chance. God didn't give up on his message to the Ninevites. And God is merciful and relents in the face of repentance. So as we look at Jonah, I want you to have in your mind how we individually find sharing our faith and how we do that as a church. How do we find sharing our faith and how do we find doing that as a church? And our responses to those questions, what do they tell us about our faith in God and our love for those around us? Well, just a bit of background before we get into chapter 3. In chapter 1, we see Jonah trying to run away from God. God gave Jonah a mission, and he tried to decline the mission. Chapter 1, verse 2. Jonah was told to take the word of the Lord to Nineveh. A clear message, and we know that Jonah disobeyed. Pretty amazing stuff. To be told directly by God to do something, and then to directly disobey it. And Jonah didn't just stay where he was and not go to Nineveh. No, verse 3 of chapter 1, he tried to flee to Tarshish. But did you notice in verse 3 of chapter 1, he didn't just try to flee to Tarshish. He also, it says, tried to flee from the presence of God. And as we read this, we can think about the turmoil that Jonah would have been in. But then if you look at verse 6 of chapter 1, there's a storm. And even though there's a storm, Jonah doesn't seem troubled as he is asleep. So he's ignored God's call, and indeed he's trying to hide from God, yet he's asleep in a storm. Wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? But notice also that Jonah isn't denying God. Even though he's running away from God, he's still able to say in verse 9 of chapter 1, "I worship the Lord." The focus today isn't chapter 1. I'm not so sure I'm meant to get this message, but I do find it comforting in some way that even though Jonah is running away from God and what he wants him to do, he is still a believer. Someone professing faith in God, acknowledging God's power over creation, yet running away from God and his will. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has heard God's call in an area of my life and have faced a similar struggle. Well, we know in Jonah's case that God didn't let him keep on running. Instead, God provided a rather unusual form of transport to get him back on track in verse 17 of chapter 1, a very large fish. And then in chapter 2, instead of Jonah running away from God, he runs into God. And he realizes that actually God's hand is behind his deliverance. And he realizes you cannot run away from God. Verse 2 of chapter 2. I called out to the Lord, out of my distress, and he answered me. Now we come on to chapter 3. And God hasn't given up on his plan, on the Ninevites or on Jonah. God is driven by his will and his compassion. First of all, in verse 1 of chapter 3, there's a recommissioning. And it's similar to the commissioning that Jonah had in chapter 1, verse 2. And this tells us about our amazing God, doesn't it? God doesn't give up on us individually. I'm sure I'm not the only person who has marveled at God's incredible patience and the mercy that he's shown me over the past 30 years. And you know, when people want to separate the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and present the God of the Old Testament as a one-dimensional tyrant, then actually Jonah is a good place to start to challenge that. Because in Jonah, we find that God doesn't give up, and God is a God of compassion, of grace, and mercy. Well, Jonah shows repentance in what he does. Repentance, people often say, is a change of mind and a change of direction. And Jonah does that literally. We see that he does not flee to Tarshish. But instead, verse 3, this time, he got up and he went to Nineveh. Jonah is obedient, even if there's a reluctance behind that obedience. Well, his message seems quite simple in verse 4, doesn't it? 40 more days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I'm not too sure if we had a mission committee meeting today and we were thinking about the words for a poster outside the church, we'd want to say 40 more days and Poynton shall be overthrown. So I'm not too sure that's a complete message that maybe God told Jonah to take to the Ninevites. But it was certainly part of the message because God was aware of the wickedness of the Ninevites. Well, it tells us that God has not given up on Jonah, but he's also not given up on the Ninevites. God's plan for the Ninevites will not be thwarted by an individual. We cannot limit God. Well, how did the Ninevites respond? Verse 5. They responded in amazing repentance. And the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Even the king responds in the same way in verse 6. And the king appeals to God's compassion in verse 9 of chapter 3 when he says, who knows, God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. And we know that God's compassion was a reason for Jonah's reluctance to go to Nineveh in the first place. Jonah's reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh was that even though they were a wicked people, much more than this, he knew God to be a God of mercy and compassion and grace. If you just have a look at chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, what's Jonah's response when the people of Nineveh have repented and God has shown grace and mercy? Well, this is what he says. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said whilst I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Again, a challenge to the stereotype of the God of the Old Testament. Just as God had shown to the pagan sailors in chapter 1, verse 14, when they responded to his word mercy, so to the Ninevites God showed mercy and compassion. The people of Nineveh were under a 40-day warning of being overthrown, and they responded with repentance. How did God respond? He responded with grace, mercy, and compassion. Have a look at verse 10 of chapter 3. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind, and the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, he did not do it. Well, of course, this verse has been a focus for theological discussions and disputes for centuries. How can an all-knowing, all-powerful God change his mind? How can he relent? But I must admit, a greater problem for me would be if God did not relent in the face of repentance. For imagine if after 40 days, when the people of Nineveh have responded with such an overwhelming repentance, God said, sorry, even though you've shown repentance, I'm still going to turn my back on you and you'll face condemnation that I warned you about. We would surely ask, wouldn't we, where is the hope? Where is the love? Where is the compassion? God says this in Jeremiah 18, verses 7 to 8. At one moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on it. Jonah is an incredible tale of God's amazing grace and love. God doesn't give up on Jonah, and he doesn't give up on his plan for the Ninevites, but he does change his mind about overthrowing them. Jonah knew God's compassion for himself and was called to go into a situation he didn't want to go into, a situation where he knew God's grace and mercy would have an effect, yet he was still reluctant, he was still begrudging. Well, a few final thoughts and questions that have been on my mind as I've looked at this passage. Jonah says that God is a God of compassion, merciful and abounding in love. And we see that in both God's dealing with Jonah and God's dealing with the Ninevites. So first of all, do you and I know God's compassion? Do you and I know God's compassion for ourselves? We recently celebrated Easter, the message of hope for all, that none are beyond forgiveness and new life, that Jesus died and rose again, that we can have complete and total forgiveness from our sins, a new relationship with God. The people of Nineveh face condemnation, yet they receive mercy, grace and love. How about you? Do you this morning know God's overwhelming love for you? You may have entered church this morning facing God's condemnation, yet if, like the Ninevites, you repent, God promises you will receive his love. You'll leave here forgiven. No condemnation now you dread. It may be that this is a challenge that you're facing this morning. It may be the thing that you're reluctant to do is to follow that nagging that you felt for a while, that you need to do something about God and the message of his forgiveness and love for you. If you don't know about God's compassion, please do something about it. Speak to somebody this morning. Think about joining one of our courses, such as the Alpha Course. For those of us who do know God's compassion, is there a person or a situation that God is calling you to and you want to flee to your own Tarshish? Is God calling you or me into a situation, knowing his compassion, but also importantly, to show his compassion? We know, don't we, that God calls us to act in faith. And that's how our faith grows. Jonah actually had great faith that God would act. What about us today? Do we need to ask God to give us a faith that Jonah had, but alongside this, the compassion that Jonah didn't seem to have, so that we will act? Knowing there's no situation where God is not present. God is a God of second chances. Jonah realized we can't flee from his presence, even if we try. Even if, like Jonah, we're sleeping in a storm, and we might try and fool ourselves that we're comfortable and everything's okay. If there is an area of our lives or a situation where we've been hearing God's call, then we need to stop fleeing from him and turn to him and know the rescue that Jonah mentions in chapter 2. And ask God to help us to follow him. And what about us as a church? We have the great commission, don't we, to share the good news of Jesus. And we're all involved in that as part of God's people, his church. We all have different gifts and different roles, but we're all involved. Now, we might not be called to go into another locality, into a different community. But I wonder, how do we feel about sharing our faith? Does part of us feel a bit like Jonah going into Nineveh? The world, society can seem an increasingly alien place. And even though we know and believe in the power of the gospel of the good news and that God works in people's lives, part of us is scared. I wonder if any of you saw the BBC programme recently called The Battle for Christianity. I don't know if it's still available on the BBC iPlayer, but actually it was a really interesting and thought-provoking programme. Our society is changing, as the programme said, as immigration brings in new believers and new cultures, but also our society's values and norms are changing. I must admit, I think as a church, nationally, locally, God is calling us more and more to go out, to go to Nineveh. I think increasingly we're being asked to go out of our churches and into our communities. I think as whereas in previous generations, people had some foundation of Christian belief and even some contact with the church. And in some ways, this led to healthy opposition and discussion. Now, in many ways, what we face as a church is indifference. And for many people, the church, Jesus, the gospel, just doesn't register on their radar at all. And I think the way we do mission has changed. It's changed from big mission events. I think about 6 years ago as a church, we had a big mission week, do you remember? And we had speakers and invited people to events. And then there's friendship evangelism, getting to know people, getting alongside people, and genuine friendships and inviting them to events. I think both of those things still have their place. But I think more and more, God is calling us to go out into our locality, to go out into our society, to be an active presence. As a church, there are many, many good things taking place. As a church, as a parish church, we're in a great position. And we have a number of opportunities that take place in our church to draw people that in over time they may hear the good news that we know for ourselves. We have things like the men's events, the women's events, the events for retired people, the walks. So there's lots of opportunities already. But there's things like the Beeson Project, which I think are really important, where we're going out, meeting people at their point of need and sharing God's love in a practical and real way. That is also why it's important we do appoint a youth worker who can go out into our schools. Our young people, their parents, are not just going to come along to church. We need to get out there, get to know them, get the church known and create links and contact points if we want the young people appointed to hear about Jesus. And it applies to groups of all ages and stages. Also, the challenge for us is, how do we operate our services? Are our services for us? Are they for people out there that we want to hear the gospel? I remember someone once said to me that for many people coming to church would be rather like me going into a betting shop. Now, I didn't put a bet on the Grand National yesterday, and it's a good job because I would have lost a lot of money. But if I was to go into a betting shop, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know the norms, how it operates. Well, how about church for most people outside of church? How accessible are our services? Are we more concerned, actually, that services are comfortable for us rather than being accessible for people outside? In chapter 1, as Jonah was on his way to Tarshish, there was a storm raging, and yet he was asleep. Yeah, the challenge I think about is, are we just too comfortable, even as we potentially ignore God's call to share his message of love? It's the question that challenges me. I'm sure I'm not alone when at times speaking up for what I believe in makes me feel scared, and sometimes I'd rather take the easier option. God at the moment isn't calling me and my family to go to a different place, but he is calling me now to witness in my place of work, with my family, with my friends, and in Poynton, where I live. God has given us an amazing message of hope and love. And as we watch the news on the television and see people around us, we know, don't we, that this is a message that people need to hear, that God wants them to hear. So let's learn from Jonah and follow God's calling on our hearts with joy and faith, both on a personal level into those situations that God has called us to, and also as a church to go out into our community to show God's grace and compassion. Yes, we may feel trepidation and we'll need to ask God to be with us, but we also know God will be at work through his grace, mercy, and compassion. Amen.